Is that okay? He's not a religious one, is that okay? So a guy goes to the greengrocer's and he said, I'd like £5 of potatoes, please. He said, I'm sorry, sir, but they're called kilos now. Oh, £5 of kilos then, please. So I was born in a place called Northampton. Has anybody ever heard of Northampton? Whoa, yeah. Northampton's used to be well known for making shoes. There's shoe factories all over the town when I was a kid. And the football team is still called the Cobblers to this day. So both my parents worked in a shoe factory. And they were both working class. We were quite poor. I was born just after the war in 47. But I knew no different. We didn't have much, but nobody did. Everybody I knew was poor, really. But then when I started work at 15 as an apprentice printer, I met a whole bunch of new people. And they were all the same as me. They were all working class people. They were all poor. Nobody had much, apart from one person. And his name was Giggling Willie. That was the boss. I don't know if you knew, but that's what we called him. His name was Bill, but he had this ridiculous giggle every time we spoke. So we all called him Giggling Willie. And he was different to everybody else because he wasn't poor. He had a really nice home. He had a boat and he had a Jaguar. And he could buy anything he wanted and came to work in nice clothes. And when I was 17, he said, darling, I'd like you to clean my Jaguar every Saturday morning for 4 hours. It had to be meticulous. 4 hours cleaning his car. But during that time, every Saturday morning, I would often just sit in the driving seat and play with all the switches and dials and dream and think. And I thought, everybody I know is pretty much poor, except him. So the difference between him and everybody else I knew was the fact that he owned his own company. So way back when I was a very young fella, I made that decision. I don't want to be poor for the rest of my life. So one day I will own my own company and buy my own Jaguar. And so that was a dream or a goal that I set myself as a young fella. But then when I was 21, I finished my apprenticeship after almost 6 years. And I had a bit of a shock when they made me a manager because I was quite a young fella. And I did that for 2 years and I was 23. And I thought, well, I'm not married. I don't have a mortgage. Do I stay like this and be okay and secure in my job? Or do I go for my dream? But it meant giving up all my security. So I had nothing, I had no money in the bank. So I had a big decision to make. So I went for it, all or nothing. So I resigned from a job. And to start my own company, I had no money, no machinery, no factory, I had nothing, no customers, nothing. So I actually got a job as a milkman in those days. They used to deliver milk to doorsteps. Do you remember those days? An old electric milk float. So I used to start work at 3 o'clock in the morning until lunchtime, 8 to 9 hours. And then in the afternoon, I'd put my suit on and try and get some business. And so I worked, it wasn't easy to be honest. I worked very long hours for virtually no pay. A lot of obstacles, a lot of difficulties, but I refused to give in. I had a dream and I was going to go for it, give it everything I had. And 10 years later, when I was 33, I actually owned two companies I started. I also started an office supplies company. It's not a stationary warehouse here, but in those days there wasn't a warehouse for stationery, but I had the idea to do that. I actually employed 70 people. Instead of 30, that was my goal. And I had my own brand new Jaguar. Yes. So at 33, you know, I made it, really, set my goals. But at the same time, at the same year, I met Jesus. I wasn't a real Christian. In England, and everybody thinks they are Christians, or used to. But most aren't. We thought we were, but we weren't real ones. We never had a Bible. We never went to church and didn't know anything about God. But we got married in churches, and we christened our babies. And we celebrated Christmas and Easter, but didn't know what it was all about, really. Until I met Jesus. When I met Jesus, everything changed. Everything. He just totally turned my life upside down. I was so full of love, so full of joy. And my view of life totally changed. Material things just really didn't mean anything anymore. So I went and bought a Bible. And I started to go to church. I found one close to my home. And so every week I would put my best suit on. It's what he did in those days. Go to church Sunday morning, say hi to a few people, sing a few hymns, listen to a sermon, have a cup of tea, sometimes a chocolate biscuit, and then go home. Following week, go to church, say hi to a few people, sing a few songs, listen to a sermon, have some tea and a biscuit, go home, week in, week out. Then I thought, this is getting a bit boring. I thought, surely there's going to be more to Christianity than this. I mean, when I met Jesus, it was so amazing, and then, is this it? It's like the Rotary Club, but on a Sunday. So then I started to read my Bible, which I hadn't really done, because I didn't know how to read the Bible. Like a lot of churches, no one helped me. No one got alongside me. I was a brand new Christian. But I was just left to fend for myself. So I had no idea what the Bible was, to be honest. I thought it was like a storybook. You know, you start at the beginning, and I thought, oh, this is a bit complicated. And I thought, I'll try it at the end to see what the end of the story is. I start Revelation, oh my goodness, what's that all about? But then I got into it, and I started to read the New Testament. And then I discovered something quite amazing, that the church was actually doing the opposite to what Jesus told them to do. But Jesus said, I will build my church, and you go and make disciples. And I thought, well, we're not doing that. We're building a church. We've got our Sunday services and kids' clubs and youth clubs and ladies' meetings, men's meetings. Everything was inside our little building. I'd never heard of anybody making a disciple. And what's that all about? So then I read on. Jesus said to Matthew and to Peter and Andrew, to James and John, he said to them, hey guys, come and follow me, and I will teach you how to fish for people. And it said that once they left their nets and followed him. And I thought, well, what a huge thing to do. But then again, I thought, well, it wasn't just a man. We're talking about Jesus that was speaking to them. It was the Son of God. And so when Jesus spoke, it was like God speaking to them. And so when he said, come follow me, and I'll teach you how to fish for people. I mean, they thought, we better do this. This is the Lord speaking to us. And they did. And then he showed them how to do it. Then I read, he went through Galilee teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. So I thought, well, he preached. The good news, but he also demonstrated the good news. It wasn't just words, but he said, this is what the kingdom is like. He's actually doing stuff. And I thought, well, goodness me, if we know anybody that is not saved or brokenhearted or in bondage or sick or whatever, I thought, well, we've got some good news to share here. And then he sent them out. And I read, as you read this morning, he said, as you go, he said the same thing. Proclaim this message, the kingdom has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those of leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I thought this was a huge challenge. They were just ordinary people, just like you and me. And they could have said, hang on, that's not my call. I'm not an evangelist. I'm a fisherman. Or they could have said, well, hang on, they'll think we're religious nutters. Or they could have said, hang on, healing, that was okay for Elijah and Elisha, but that was in those days, not for today. Is there a glass of water anyway? I'm getting a bit dry here. Is that possible, please? Thank you. Well, a beer? So they had to decide, do we have a go at this? I mean, this is a huge thing to do. One day we're fishing, and they were saying, oh, it's a go and preach about the kingdom, and if you see sick people, do we do this? And then I read, so they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Oh, wow, it works. It really works. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm normally okay, but I don't know why I'm drying up today. And then Acts, as we read this morning, when Jesus rose from the dead, went to be with his Father in heaven, and they said, okay, guys, now you're my body on earth. Now you've got to carry on what we've started here. So then we read in Acts, and this is what the early church did. Everywhere they went, they said, Jesus is the good news. You can get to know the Father through him. He died on the cross for you. You can accept him and get saved. And if you're sick, watch this. You can get healed as well. And if you're all bound up by the devil, Jesus can set you free. And it works. It works. And friends, today nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. God does not have plan B. He only has one plan. We are still, the church is still, the body of Christ on earth. And each one of us is invited to join Jesus in his mission of preaching the good news and healing the sick and setting captives free. Each one of us. That's a choice. Jesus will never force anybody to do anything. He tells you what he'd like you to do, but you have to choose about your own response. Now, in 1970, I chose to leave the security of my job to go for my dream, join my own company. And 10 years later, I had another choice, to leave my old lifestyle or to follow the lifestyle of Jesus. But no one else was doing it, to be honest. I read that Jesus spoke to crowds and crowds, thousands of people. But the church only started with 120. And all the big crowds, only 120 were real followers, decided to follow him. And I read the parable of the sower, and only 25% respond positively to the word. And in the churches I was involved in early on, and I find that most churches even today, no one's interested. A few are, but the majority, I like the crowd. No, it's not for me. So I had a choice to make myself. No one else was doing it. I didn't know how to do it because there was no one to teach me. But I read the word. And God spoke to me through his word. Well, what did you do? So I started to share as best as I could about Jesus. I told all my family, and no one was interested. I told every one of my employees and every one of my directors, no one was interested. I told everyone in the Rotary Club I was a member of. I told everybody, my football team, my cricket team, and at the golf club. No one was interested. And I thought, oh dear, you know. But I was determined to soldier on. And then one day a guy came to the church. He was 33. He was an overage student. And he came to check us out. It was one evening meeting. And I forget what the meeting was, but I just happened to be there. I got chatting to him for hours and hours and hours. He loved to have a debate, a real clever guy. I was there till 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was getting tired and a bit fed up by then. And I said to him, oh, for goodness sake, why don't you just give your heart to Jesus? And he said, all right then. And the lovely thing is, this is a long time ago, it was 40 years ago, is still serving the Lord today, helping broken people. And then I led the church organist to the Lord, because he wasn't a Christian. Sorry. I was in this sort of Presbyterian type church, and he was playing away. And in the afternoon, he'd play in this spiritualist church. So I invited him around my home one Saturday morning and told him what a real Christian was. He gave his heart to the Lord. And then another one. And then there's an old lady in the congregation. She sits at the back, and she was the ringleader of the mature ones. And so, and their job was to oppose anything the minister tried to do. And so I thought, well, if you can turn an enemy into your friend, then it's not, you haven't got an enemy. And so I didn't tell the minister what I was doing, so I used to go visit this old lady in her home and led her to the Lord. So also I led 5 people in the church to the Lord, and then 2 of my directors became Christians. And then it started to happen. It wasn't easy to start with, like starting a business. It started with healing. How do you do that? I didn't know. So the first healing was my own, because I was having a problem with my eyes. My eyesight was deteriorating quite fast. And I've been under the hospital for 3 months trying to solve the problem. And all the black and white on a page would merge together. I couldn't find words. And I was feeling God was calling me to be a full-time in ministry. And so I said, well, Lord, if I'm going to have to do a lot of reading here. And I can't hardly read. And so I went through, I was still at work in my office, I walked through my factory, went to the back of my factory, into my yard, and we had big, sort of 2-meter-high bins. And this is what I did. I said, well, Lord, if you're calling me to be a preacher, you're going to have to heal my eyes. So I took my glasses off and threw them in the bin. I saw him and walked into the door. No, I didn't really. And I walked into my office, and I was healed. So the first healing was my own. I thought, oh, it works. And then I went to London Bible College for 2 weeks. It's like an evangelical. It's not a Pentecostal, it's far from it, but I went there for 2 weeks. And because I was quite lively, for some reason, a total stranger came up to me, a 28-year-old lady from another town. And she said, you believe that Jesus heals, don't you? And I said, oh, yes, because it's in the Bible. Oh, yes. And then she said, oh, would you pray for me? I'm like, oh, no. What do you do? What do you do? And she was riddled with arthritis. And I said, oh, yes. And so I've done it 1,000 times. And it was my first time. Can I hold your hand? Yes. And as I just held her hand, I'm not exaggerating. It's how God helps you, right? I know what it is now, but I didn't know at the time. It's called a gift of faith. Right? It's a gift. So God gave me the gift of faith for that situation right then. And I can't remember what I prayed, but it would have been something really simple. In the name of Jesus be healed, something like that. That's what I normally pray, to be honest. Anyhow, I just knew she was healed. And I said, you're healed. She said, no, I'm not. I said, yes, you are. She said, no, I'm not. Look at me. I said, yes, you are. She said, I'm not. I said, you are, but you don't know it yet. And I was convinced she was. Anyhow, next day, she came up to me, because she couldn't run either with her knees, and she said, I've just been for a run around the whole campus. I'm totally healed. And she said, I'm a shy person, so I can't share publicly, but I'm a pianist. I haven't played the piano for ages, so I'm going to play the piano tonight, the most difficult German piece of music I know, as a testimony to God. So now I'm seeing people come to know Jesus, and now I saw someone healed. And then I went to an Anglican church and cast out 2 demons, but I didn't know that they were demons. The Lord just spoke to me and said, so-and-so was inside of them. One was sadness. The first one was anger. So I didn't know what a demon was. So I just commanded anger to leave this guy, and he threw a punch at me. Just went over my shoulder. And so I'd never done it before. So I just said, anger, come out. And as I said those words, it's like a firework went all around this old Anglican church, went all around the room. Whee! I can hear it. And it was zoom, and it shot out the wall. These great big thick 12th century churches. And then the Lord said, sadness. I said, oh, what? Oh, sadness. And he rolled onto the floor, went into a fetus position, and started crying. And so I said, sadness, come out. I don't know what I was doing. And the same thing. It's like a firework. Everybody there could sit here, it go right around the room, and it shot out through the door, and the guy leapt up in the air and shouted, I'm free, for the first time I'm free. What? So I went back to my church to see my minister. He's like a Presbyterian guy. I told him what had happened. Well, because he didn't know about demons and stuff, neither did I then. And he said, you've obviously encountered evil. I suggest you go home, take all your clothes off and put them in the wash machine and have a shower. So I did. But all I'm trying to say is, you've got to start somewhere. Since then, I've been doing this now for 40 years. I've shared the gospel with thousands upon thousands of people, and probably the vast majority of the time I've not shown any interest. But I reckon I've also probably seen at least 2,000 or 3,000 people come into the kingdom of God from not knowing anything. From not knowing anything about healing, because everybody, all the Christians I knew, is that healing isn't for today. So it's almost like the devil's gone into their Bible and rubbed it out. So they can't read it. And I'll tell you, a lot of people don't get healed, to be honest. But the ones that do, I don't choose. It's God that does it. Well, you just pray for people. I've seen so many incredible miracles, hundreds and hundreds. And just to see what Jesus, that's what God is. That's who he is. He loves people. If people are unsaved, that's why he went to the cross. He wants to save people. That's why when you see Jesus, his life, shows what God is like. When Jesus saw sick people, he healed sick people. He didn't say, oh, I'll pray for you. He healed them. Or people in bondage, he didn't say, tough luck, mate. He set them free. That's the calling of the church. The kingdom of God is good news. Everybody you share with won't get saved, won't get healed, won't be set free, but some will. And when you see them, I'll never forget, I went for a stage where there's about, I think about 100 people I prayed for and no one got healed. So I must confess, I was getting to a point of just about giving up. And then I had a phone call to the church. Someone was in hospital, a lady had given birth to a baby and something had gone wrong, terribly wrong with her back, and she was in terrible pain. Her husband rang up, who wasn't a Christian, and said, can somebody go and pray for my wife? And so I went, because I was the only one in the office, and I'm thinking I'm probably the last person, because it's all stopped. No one gets healed anymore. And so when I went to pray for her, I've got to be honest, my faith was zero. I really, honestly, did not expect her to get healed. I was really just hoping that someone else was there rather than me. And so I just put my hand on her head and just started to pray. And all of a sudden, I could just sense the presence of Jesus in the room. Then all of a sudden, I could hear literally clicking noises coming from inside of her body. I could hear it. Then all of a sudden, the lady jumped out the bed and ran all around the ward shouting out, I'm healed, I'm healed. I find it a bit embarrassing, to be honest. Anyway, I won't bore you with any more stories. I just want to tell you that, hey, believe in the Bible. Don't rub bits out. If someone tells you it's not for today, don't believe them. Only believe the Bible. Don't believe what people tell you. Believe what the Bible says. And then have a go. You know people that aren't saved? Do you care? Does it bother you? What would Jesus do in your place? Because he's inside of you. What if you see someone sick? Dare you have a go? You just know, I was on holiday last year in Rarotonga. I went to work with YWAM. Have you heard of YWAM? Okay, I was doing some teaching with them over there, but I stayed in a resort. I used to stay with YWAM, but it's so primitive and so full of mosquitoes. Like my age, I don't want to do it anymore. So I booked myself into a resort, and I got cheap rates because the owner was a Christian. And I was sitting on the steps down to the beach, just literally sitting there reading. I heard a voice say, can I come and join you? I looked up, there's a guy on his balcony. Sure. So he came down and sat next to me on the steps. And I always share my faith with everybody. So I started talking about Jesus. He said, oh, I'm an atheist. Oh, yeah. Okay. I said, your faith's stronger than mine then. So we got chatting away. Nice guy. Then his wife came down and sat on the steps behind us. I said, hello. She said, oh, our holiday's been ruined. I said, well, why is that? She said, well, I fell over and I've really badly damaged my knee. And I can hardly walk. So I said, did you know Jesus heals people? Oh, yeah, after you. I said, would you let me pray for you? I mean, I didn't know she was going to get healed or not, to be honest. You've got to give it a go, eh? So she's sitting there, so I put my hand on her knee. And this is what I said. In the name of Jesus, be healed. It wasn't like your prayers. I'm not as clever as you. In the name of Jesus, be healed. That's what I said. I said, no, give it a try. She said, what? I said, come on, give it a try. So she comes downstairs and went for a walk down the beach, totally healed. I mean, it's not difficult. It's not rocket science. So I'm going to stop there because time's getting on. Let's just pray. Can we pray? Can I ask you just to think about yourself while you've just got your eyes closed? You've heard what I've said. All I'm doing is quoting the Bible, okay? And maybe you've been never told this stuff before. I don't know. A lot of people haven't. Maybe you've never heard this sort of thing before. Maybe you've been told that Jesus doesn't do things anymore. I don't know what you've been taught. I want to encourage you, look, get rid of all the stuff that's negative, that's not in the Bible. And say, Lord, I only want to believe what your word says. And if it's true, this is what you want us to do, to share the good news about you and to help people that are sick or brokenhearted or whatever. And if I've never done that, Lord, if you're ready to make that decision to do it now, why don't you just say, Lord, I'd like to have a go at this. But don't get too religious with him, you know, he's your father. He's not the Pope, okay? But don't get all religious with me. Make it simple. Speak to your Heavenly Father and say, Lord, you might be saying, Lord, okay, I'll have a go, but Lord, I'm a bit scared. But that's okay, I was scared to death. You might be saying, I don't know how to do it. Well, he knows that, but that's what the Holy Spirit's there for, to help you. If you're ready to have a go, just say that to him now. Lord, just show me how to do it and I'll do it. Lord, give me an opportunity. I'm going to give this a go for you. So what if everybody's eyes are closed? I'll just look and see what he's receiving, what I'm saying. If you sort of said that type of prayer and you say, Lord, I want to give this a go. So can we keep your eyes closed? I don't want to embarrass anybody. Can you just stick your hand up just so I can see if anybody's responding here? Oh, that's cool. Okay, that's about like the power of the sower, about 25%. So I'm in power with Jesus, so I'm doing okay this morning. Father, for everybody that's responded, Lord, Holy Spirit, I just pray, Lord, you would just come and anoint them now. Lord, just fill them afresh with your love, with your power. Lord, and show them, Lord, what an amazing God you are. Let them be a blessing, Lord, to people that they meet. Lord, for some of the others, Lord, that may not be quite ready, Lord, I pray you would just encourage them, Lord, to be wholehearted followers of you. And Lord, in the prayer this morning, the lady didn't know what I was going to be preaching about, but she was preaching what I preached. She was praying what I preached. And that shows me that God's working in this church. The prayer was for revival. Where revival starts with God's people. They're revived. They come alive. The Holy Spirit comes on. They begin to see people saved and miracles start happening. That's when Jesus turns up. That's revival. The Lord, I pray, Lord, let Glendary Presbyterian Church, Lord, encounter revival. Let it begin, Lord, even from today. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm out of here now before I get stoned.